the 49ers have left a lot of the faithful scratching their heads with the move they've made so far throughout free agency. Are they desperate or are they confident in the roster as it currently stands? Wayne, let's talk about it, man.
Let's get it.
Hey, how you feeling over there, man?
Like you've been in front
of the camera for the last 7 hours?
I'm smiling. That's a start, right?
It's always a start. So definitely a good start, too.
Great start. Great start, right? Great start. I'm smiling. The Niners are... they're fulfilling their holes.
Yes, they are. Right? But the question is, are they doing it in the right way? Because Wayne, I'll be honest with you, man, I don't know. There were some signings today. Let's talk about that really quick. The Niners made some moves today. They got former Lions defensive back, right? Chase Lucas,
defensive back, can play nickel, but he's more of a special teamer.
Okay. So this is the guy that we saw getting a little spicy with Lenore in the NFC Championship game, right? Like that's correct. I saw that little clip going around. I didn't even know that was him. I still don't know how they knew it was him. Like you can't even see him. So I don't know how.
Shout out to those who got the magnifying glasses out there that just knew it was him. Shout out to those guys.
Sure. But what do we know about him? Like what Chase Lucas. Like, what's the pros and cons to a guy like him? Is there a chance he gets on the field and plays for the San Francisco 49ers?
As a DB? Possibly not. Yeah. But as a special teamer, yeah. I mean, he's a gunner. The Niners want to make sure that they have their gunners locked and loaded and ready to get down there. And for those that don't know what the gunners are and the ball's kicked, they're the guys that got to get down there, break them wedges, and be the first person down there on the football field. And so when you look at what they did today – today they focused on special teams. So they really started yesterday with the signing of Demetrius Flanagan Files, the re-signing of Demetrius Flanagan Files. And so they're bringing back their special team guys, right? They want to make sure they're special teams. And then they brought back Chris Conley, and we'll get to him, right? But it just seems like Chris Conley can contribute offensively. Now, I don't know. I can look up his stats as far as how many snaps he played at the nickelback. So if you bear with me, I'll get that pulled up. But I just look at him as a special teams player as of right now. And let me be clear, and I don't mean this in a slight of any kind of a way, Mike. But let's be clear. This person, some of these players are brought onto the roster to make the 90. That doesn't mean they make the actual 53.
Right. 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 And we're not knocking anybody. We're not saying that any of these people are not capable of making the final 53 or the practice squad, which is a big part of your 53 now and all. We're not saying that. But we just want to remind people that they do have to build to 90. So
I don't have any defensive snaps for him. So,
yeah, I just looked it up. Yep.
Yeah. No defensive snaps. But one penalty this past season on special teams happened against the Baltimore Ravens. Two tackles, one assisted tackle. So three total tackles on special teams.
Right. All right. So, I mean, gunner all the way, all day. Like, we going out there, like you said. I like what you said. They focus on special teams, which, by the way, if we're being honest, the Niners have neglected that group for quite some time.
I think it's only neglected, though, as far as the return man. I think the core of the group, I think is pretty much well stocked. Now you got a bunch of guys, the rumor report going on that the Niners are looking to move on from a bunch of young players, right? A bunch of young guys. So they probably want to draft this new draft class. And so they're looking to move on from Ambry Thomas. They're looking to move on from Danny Gray. They're looking to move on from Samuel Womack III. They're looking to maybe Nick Zakel gets put in there. They're looking to move on from these guys that haven't really done much to crack the roster spot. And they probably want to see, like, if the guys that they got last year, like the Ronnie Bells and the D Winters and the Jalen Grahams, they got to give those guys time to develop as well. So look, as much as I think this has got to be the year for a guy like Danny Gray, okay, it could possibly mean in that they're looking to trade these guys. Now, I don't think they're going to get cut, but some guys have to make the roster. All right. Now, you know, since we're talking about special teams, Samuel Womack was a good special teamer. Jordan Mason, they're looking to trade him as well. Good special teamer. We talk about these guys that are gunners.
You're not going to get.
Because you got to look at the running backs, man. Is Jordan Mason replaceable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so then, like, you know, like that's the conversations that they're having, right? Though, Mike, like, all right, man, I know what he can potentially do as a running back, but we don't need him. We're not using him that way.
And while I completely agree and hear you, what are we going to get for him?
If you get a seventh round pick for
Conditional 2028 seventh round pick.
If you get a running back
that got no play.
Yeah, but if you get a seventh round pick for an undrafted guy, that's a win.
And who's not going to get one for him? He's a running back.
That doesn't mean you're not going to get one for him. People know what he was capable of. Jordan Mason's stats average over 5 yards a carry, right? So imagine Jordan Mason going to a different team where they'll up his play. They're like, oh, this guy can average 5 yards a carry in Kyle Shanahan's offense. That's huge. The Niners might have flipped an undrafted guy, and you're talking about 2028. Nah, the Niners are going to look to get something in 2024, bro. 2025.
I tell you, I all right, friendly Mike here speaking. If they can get anything in the next 2 years for him, don't hesitate. At all.
I'm just saying, like, these are guys. The question is, these players that we bring up, right? The question isn't are they underutilized or whatever? That's not the problem. We know that. That's not it. But they're looking to move on from Elijah Mitchell as well. So let's just keep it a buck. Like, it's not just. I think the Niners feel like they can replace depth, and if you're depth, you're depth.
The 49ers should not be giving any running back an extension if it's not Christian McCaffrey. As long as Christian McCaffrey's here, he is running back one, running back two, and then everybody else is just
it's depth. Depth. That like depth. I think I stubbed my pinky toe. Come in right. For a play.
My shoe came off.
Right.
It's something like that. They're not touching the ball if it's not Christian McCaffrey. So while I agree with them being willing to move on, I just don't know if anybody's going to trade for him. That's all I'm saying now.
And I totally respect and understand that, Mike, but these are Kyle Shanahan pieces. Cats, the same way they want his coaches, they want his pieces.
That's true. The people with system familiar.
I watched Salvin Ahmed.
Yes!
I was trying to say it before you said it because I knew it was about to slip out. Who just got an extension, or excuse me, who just got re-signed with the Miami Dolphins?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep, that's exactly where I was going with it. So, yeah. All right, cool. So, I'm trying to pull up all of the moves that the 49ers have made. Chris Conley is back. Now, without looking it up, what percentage of snaps do you think this veteran wide receiver took on special teams? Seems like day three, they focused on special teams. Do you think that Chris Conley had any special team snaps at all?
Yes.
I do too, but I think it's a low percent, but I could be
wrong. No, it definitely wasn't low. And on top of that, you know, I mean, he was the ace in the Super Bowl. So we'll go just regular season. And I'm on special teams, 121 special team snaps, Mike. 50 on kick return, 48 on kick coverage, 13 on punt return, 10 on punt coverage.
Okay. That's not 36% for a veteran is a high number. I like that.
And you know what? Let me change the numbers because that was with post. 73 total snaps, 32 kick return, 30 kick coverage, 11 punt return. He wasn't on the punt coverage team. So it lessened
like
a lot.
You got like the in-depth joint. See, mine just, the site I use just tell me special team snaps, period. Yeah. Like 73, yeah. 36%.
One missed tackle. Okay. One missed tackle. But I think the thing that you get from Chris Conley and the reason why you brought him back is his ability to be the special team gunner and his ability to play wide receiver. Okay. That this dude had one drop on the season. He had he didn't have many targets on the season, the regular season. Just want to make that clear. Right. Only 5 targets, 3 receptions. That's 60%. Okay, average 23 yards though per reception. Mm-hmm. Sound like a Kyle Shanahan guy to me.
Yeah, the hell it does. Yes, it does. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You hear me?
One drop, and he had a long of 48. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. Catching traffic, one.
He's had some clutch catches. I don't know if they
catches in traffic or clutch catches. That's exactly what that is. That dude is a wide receiver. I can't remember if it was a playoff game or not, but he did have that one drop in the end zone. I feel like that was a playoff game though, so I don't have that pulled up. I'm only focusing on the regular season.
No, rightfully so. And then, you know, getting off of Chris Conley, because we kind of know what to expect. We've seen him here, and I think that's a good depth acquisition for the 49ers, at least going to push some of these young. This lets me know two things. One, they hear me out. I think they might be a little concerned that someone might try to come after Juwan Jennings. I don't know that to be certain, but I think that, we need to bring Chris back. We weren't going to do it, but let's bring him back. And
but can two, they, if they already... Oh, so you're saying Juwan, he's tendered, but so unless somebody, so you're saying that somebody's going to offer the second round pick?
It's possible. Now, I wouldn't if I was another team out there. I think in the second round, you can go out there and get you a good wide receiver. I think the depth of the wide receivers is pretty solid from what I'm hearing. Again, I haven't looked all of them up and put together my list yet all the way through, but I think that the depth at the wide receiver position is pretty solid. I don't know that I'm spending a second round pick on Juwan Jennings. But so I think that's the Niners' way of saying, yeah, we're going to keep him and don't none of y'all touch him. We got to pay him more. We got the money, which, by the way,
it's only $4.78 million, though. It's not hurting their pockets, right?
No. Did you see the new cap numbers? What?
The 36
is Matt
million?
Mayoko tweeting? Yeah.
I think part of that is for the 2024 season. So you got to factor in the $18 million. It's not just $2.5 million right now. It's the whole year. So the Niners, regardless of the way you look at it, subtract $18 million, subtract $15.5 million from that number. That's probably what the Niners are working with now. So a little bit over $15 million. But you're going to get that money back. Like, that money will be yours to spend post June 1st.
I see what you're saying. So they really around 21 million, like, if because they didn't get all of the Armstead money and stuff like that.
But but after on June 2nd, Mm-hmm.
But you know the cool thing is 20 million even right now this time of year is good. That's good money.
The Niners figure it out every single season on how to figure out and finagle the cap. Now it takes restructuring. And they did a couple of extensions, but it takes restructuring. And you know, going to the show title, Mike. You know, how you feeling though? Like, do you feel like the Niners have addressed free agency with confidence, or do you think they're getting these pieces out of desperation due to the fact that they, you know, other guys are going elsewhere? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I am 90% with the confident, but that 10% is from one signing. It is one signing that I just don't like, and I feel like it was desperation.
Okay, so which one signing are you referring to?
Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell.
So state your bid though, because
as soon as they do it, he goes on social media. Well, it was right before they announced it. he goes on social media, puts his post. Someone out there is about to get a dog who was misused, or like he like trying to get every. That was him, right? Wasn't that his post that they that was circulating?
Yeah.
All right, bro. So it's just, I feel like maybe they had their eyes on some other inside linebackers, some other interior linebackers that they wanted to get and couldn't get.
I mean, at the end of the day, everything that they signed could be desperation. Leonard Floyd could have been a desperation. They probably were in on Danielle Hunter. We really want to have this conversation, though?
No, desperation. Going for big names doesn't mean desperation, because this is not a big name.
This is still, it's not a big name because it's not a big name, but you're adding an all-pro to your roster. All-pro is all-pro.
No, that don't count.
Yes, it do.
You were all-pro in 2018. It has nothing to do with 2024, bro.
It doesn't have to do with it, but you're still an all-pro. Like, you have that, you have the potential to be all-pro. Like, you know, okay, so if I'm going to live by your definition of all-pro, fine. So that's fine. I could live with it. That, trust me, I have no problem saying that he's not an all-pro. Former all-pro that has potential to become all-pro again, all right? Mm-hmm. How is this desperation? I don't see it as desperation.
I'm just saying it because it was such a drastic drop off, like, it, and that's what it is. So,
well, what's the drop off?
I should be clear. He was all pro 3 years ago in 2021. So let me be clear, so before people say, "Oh, Mike, don't know what
you're
talking
about." Well, you said former all pro, so
right. So 3 years ago, he had 146 tackles total. 102 of them were solo. Bro, he hasn't had half that since then. Solo tackles, quarterback hits. He hasn't had a third of it. Tackles for loss, like,
so his production went down, but the system could have been asked to do different roles.
It did. They had him on the right side versus the left side, and he played less games, right? He played 16 games in 2021, and then 2022 and 2023, 13 games and 11. Either way, no matter how you look at it, whether it's total games, snaps, production, everything is trending in a certain direction. And that's when you're approaching 30. He's going to be 31 this season. I'm just saying that the numbers aren't looking right. Just stepping back from a very broad lens.
It's not all about numbers. It's about context. We can't sit here and talk about, oh, the numbers say this, the numbers say this, and then we preach context. The numbers do say that, but then we have to talk about, how was he used? Was he misused? This linebacker came out and said he was misused. Players
bought it.
It's not about me buying it, but we do know that players get misused, Mike. I thought Nick Bosa was misused like a motherfucker last year. Like, at the end of the day, like, he ain't produced nothing to what he should be doing every single season. Let me ask you this. Every pass rusher in the NFL, the top-tier pass rushers, Mike, don't they produce every single year?
They're pretty consistent.
We're talking about the same five fucking names every single year. Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Nick Bosa had 1 year we talked about. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not blaming Nick Bosa. I'm just sitting here saying maybe it was misused.
Right. I mean, it's possible, bro. I'm not against you at all. I'm not against you at all. And I think you got a valid point because we said it all this year. How many times have we said this defense just don't look the same? So I'm with you. But with the changes that we think are coming on the horizon, who's to say he's not going to continue to be misused here? Either way, it's interesting. So I'm on the side of confident. I think the Niners are so confident in their roster that they don't have to go out there and win the battle for the biggest, best pass rusher. I think they're so confident in their coaching scheme, we don't have to go out there and get the top offensive tackle or right guard that's out there on the free agent market. No, we think Chris Forrester can do it with what he had. What, you don't believe us? Feliciano, come on back. We're going to draft some people. Mm. We go out here and we're going to cook. I think they're that confident. I think the Niners are going to step back and say, hey, maybe y'all forgot. But we were in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago and confident we were going to stomp the Eagles until our quarterback got hurt. I think they're saying, hey, don't forget, when we had a healthy quarterback, we made it all the way to the Super Bowl the following year. 2 years for this kid, NFC Championship game, Super Bowl, yeah, we confident. We got more all-pros on our team than any other team in the NFL. We got more Pro Bowlers on this roster than any team except one in the entire NFL. I think they're confident. Y'all see all these moves going on out there? They're desperate because they got to catch us.
I like
that. I think
that's
how the Niners feel. I think that's how the Niners feel. But I would love to hear the.
Well, when you look at the San Francisco 49ers, they get to the Super Bowl and they lose the game due to whatever. And so at the end of the day, they're still the team of the NFC. They're the champs. Until they beat, they're the champs. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think the Niners ever will, if they continue to contest year in and year out, unless their financial situation changes, the structuring of the way stuff is financially for the team, I don't think they ever attack free agency as in desperation. Now, there will come a time, if this time ever comes, to where they might have to make some type of move out of desperation. For example, Nick Bosa unfortunately gets hurt.
Sorry, so I had to knock on wood.
Or Trent Williams goes down.
Okay, I see.
So now you got to go and look at the free agents that are available, and you got to do what you got to do if you're trying to continue to contest and compete for that Lombardi. That's desperation. So all the teams that you mentioned that are going out there, the Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, all the teams in the NFC, you're right. They're desperate. Why? The Detroit Lions stacked up so much on that off that defensive line. It ain't even funny. They already had a tough defensive line. They just went and got more tough. You know why they did that?
They scared.
Okay. They got bullied. They had a crazy, crazy lead and got beat. Troy, what's going on, baby? I don't have my sound effects. They're not working properly.
What you want the horn for?
But Mike got the horns going. Yeah. There it is. 15-month member, man. Hope you're feeling good out there, man. Love you, bro.
God bless.
But Mike, seriously, like, you're right. Those other teams are making the desperate moves. Mm-hmm. My question though is, are the Niners making the right moves? Right? And so, like, that's to be seen or to be continued. You know, we don't know. But there were plenty of pass rushers that were available. We did a whole show on the pass rushers. And we did two types of examples. We did where they can go expensive. We went where they can go mid and add more depth. And we did the trade. And they went mid. I think they went mid. They got a defensive edge rusher. I'm going to call him an edge rusher. And Leonard Floyd for what? 2 years? What was the number? 2 year, 20 million, something like that?
Leonard Floyd, I'll pull it up because I don't remember what his contract was either. Can you hear that bird?
No.
Oh, thank God. Oh, man, because he getting loud. He was pissing me off. I was going to send my dog outside to get him.
That's funny. Mike and the birds. My point is that they went and addressed, I think they got specific. I don't know if that's a good word enough to use, but I think they said, I'm going to go and I'm going to get me a specific type of edge rusher. I'm looking for a specific type. It brings you back to the year 2019. The difference between D Ford and Leonard Floyd is the availability, like health. That's the main difference.
Don't get people excited.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Because think about what you just said, bro. If that's the only difference and this guy's been healthy, you saying that we about to look like 2019?
Bro, we about to light this mother trucker up, bro.
Oh, I don't have a beep. You got the beep.
I can't do it. No. And the reason why I'm saying that is because they just added speed rushing to the outside. So it's not just power, power, power. Because let's just keep it a buck. Offensive linemen are getting stronger. They supposed to be, because they got to stop what? The bull rush. Well, if you're a defensive end and you only got a bull rush and it ain't strong enough to overpower these right tackles, these left tackles, then you're not affecting the quarterback. But if you got a guy that can dip like we dip, you dip, we dip, we dip, and can get under and got the swim move and got speed and can take a funky funk step to the right and hit you with the left and the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like the kung fu fooey joints. That's Leonard Floyd, bro. And if you ask me how I know, this dude is producing double-digit sacks consecutively. There's a few seasons where it's under, but it's like eight or nine.
Yes. And there's been some times where he's the guy on the defensive line.
He played very well with Von Miller. Can you imagine how well he's going to play with Nick Bosa?
Can you imagine how he's going to play with Nick Bosa and Hargrave healthy?
I was just thinking of Edge, but yes.
Can you imagine how well he's going to play when he's only got to play half the game that he used to play? Like
now, I don't know if that changes though.
Oh,
I think his snap count goes up. I think he wants to play more. I think that might have been an issue with him in Buffalo.
I agree with that. I can see that for sure. Him wanting to play more, get more snaps. Oh, now y'all want me to come in here? Fine, here we go. And it's hard to get in the rhythm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about you, man. You play ball, basketball. I mean, but even if you just go and do a shoot around, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get that stroke.
Oh yeah. Once the rest of the rhythm starts, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's like that with football too. I'm going against the same tackle. Let me figure out what he's doing. Don't just send me out here on this down. I don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's good. Like, come on.
So you're asking him to gamble and guess and be right every single time. That's I don't want to live like that.
Knowing exactly. Yeah. That's why you're moving these guys back and forth on the side of the defensive line. I saw Nick Bosa play left. I saw Nick Bosa play right. I saw Nick Bosa play defensive tackle. And we want to know why the production went down.
That's why I said these guys were utilized. You know what I mean? And so I just feel like, you know, I'm not saying he's just speed, but he gives you the element of speed. Dude has moves, but we know he's former outside linebacker in a 3-4. So how will he be on that front? He's gonna have power. He's gonna be able to get into some of these right tackles that are that get up too high and whatever. But how come nobody complains about Hassan Reddick? Not Hassan Reddick. What's the dude? Yeah, Reddick.
The speed guy plays upright in Philly.
Yeah. They love him.
I complained about him. He took my quarterback out. I complained about him.
I know, but I'm just talking about as far as his size and what he does. And he's not big. He's not super huge as a defensive end. And his speed don't take him out. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, it doesn't slow him down, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not saying that Leonard Floyd's gonna give you Hassan Reddick production, but it can. And yeah, Bill Parcells, Mark, I see your comment. That wasn't the last time Bill Parcells coached football.
What you doing, Wayne?
I'm just saying the game has changed. Like the game is the players are faster.
Yeah.
They're not as big.
Yeah.
They're stronger, obviously. But the game has changed. Bill Parcells wouldn't be a great head coach in today's football, just like Bill Belichick. We watched it.
Can I ask you a question?
100 questions.
If, and hear me out, because they've done so much restructuring. I mean, George
Kittle. This is going to be tough.
It's going to be, if.
I'm not worried about 2025, 26, 27, 28.
Me neither. If we get through the weekend, just hear me out before you just know or yes. If we get through the weekend and Monday rolls around and Chase Young is still not signed somewhere, Wayne.
Yep. It's not even a question. I want a stable. I want a stable of I don't want to call players animals, but I want a stable of defensive ends. To where I can utilize them to their strengths.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm sick and freaking tired of being sick and tired of 49ers utilizing players that aren't as versatile. Don't give me a guy that line up outside and you ask him to play inside. No, I don't want that anymore. Unless that player, like he can do both, right? He has the ability to do both. But don't give me a guy that doesn't have the ability to do that. Don't force that. No more forcing. Let these players play where they play and let them feast. I think that's why Kyle is really addressing this defense, especially in free agency, more than he is probably going to do in the draft, mainly because these guys are somewhat developed. And I think now the defensive coaches and Nick Sorensen, and I'm sure that they had a meeting, you know what I'm saying? And in that meeting, they're like, yo, we gotta shape up.
I'm sorry, Wayne. Are you moving out? Where are you going?
Somebody's moving out.
My son just came to the door with a backpack, like looking out, like, where are you going? You can't go to Pop-Ups. He's not home yet. He's dropping off mom. You can go with him when he gets. I'm sorry, Wayne. Like, I'm about to lose a whole kid. Like, what was going on here?
I like Mark. And Mark, you're 100% right. Trent Williams got put on his ass. But you put a big ass 385-pound nose tackle on Trent. Is that what happened?
So, what you're saying? Trent never dealt with a 300-pound player before?
I'm not saying that. I don't know if Trent had his feeding messed up or whatever, or if he just got overpowered.
That part. I wish people watched feet move. And I don't know the play he's talking about.
You know the play. Just think about the play where Trent got knocked down.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember.
It was in the Super Bowl. He's talking about the Super Bowl.
But if a person is flat-footed and their feet are next to each other, I don't
they're
care
gonna
what
fall.
Sport you're in.
Yeah, it's
boxing,
straight
basketball.
Yeah.
Like.
My point is, I didn't rewatch the play to watch his feet, right. But so, I'm not saying size doesn't matter. I'm just saying out there on the edge, sometimes these big guys that are blocking, and I feel like as a 49er fan, we notice. When they put quicker, speedier guys, so what we're saying is every other team can put quicker, speedier guys on our right tackle or our left tackle or whatever, and they can affect the quarterback. But we can't do the same to these other big right tackles and left tackles in the league. I think that's what Leonard Floyd presents. He just gives you a different element in health, more important.
Right.
But again, I don't know what it's going to look like until we see it. I'm going to keep it a book. Like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it sounds like you want a confidence train with me. How do you think? Okay, I'll tell you what, from a fan's perspective.
I think the fans are feeling desperate. Like, I feel like we're not going after the big names. And, you know, let me just remind everybody how the salary cap work too, you know? All right. So number one, first thing you got to do, you got to get underneath that cap. They did that. Now they got to free up some money in order to offer player contracts. You get what I'm saying? And so this is what they're doing right now with the current restructures, the extensions, things like that, is freeing up cap space. So the Niners, I think, are being specific to detail and the players that they go after. Hear me out. You don't trade for an interior defensive tackle if you don't think he's going to play a specific role for you with the San Francisco 49ers. It makes no sense. So why would you trade for Malik Collins if you don't think he's going to come in here and automatically give you that strength up the middle? Stop the run. Rush the passer. Right? Mm. You don't make that trade. You might take a gamble on signing a free agent, but you don't make that trade. So when I look at what the 49ers are doing, Well, you know what, Mike? I'll instill some confidence. The 49ers are literally getting specific to detail on the players that they want on this roster that they feel could come in and really fine-tune the things that were missing on the defense. And I really do like the defensive tackle signings and trades because I want to see what the hell Kalia Davis can do. You told me that this kid was like DJ Jones the second. And he ain't even been on the field yet.
Where you at, bro?
I'm just saying, I just want to see the competition once camp starts, camp rolls around. One thing I know is that the San Francisco 49ers have changed the face of what they want their defensive front to look like. And if they add in a guy like a Justin Simmons, it's a gosh darn wrap. I could tell you that right now. And for those that'll be upset because Hufanga or Jair Brown may not start or whatever, please miss me with that. The key is to getting better and winning at the end of the day.
Yes, it is. I agree. I have one last question for you, then we get out of here. Do you consider Collins a free agent acquisition? Like, if we were to put together a wheel of the 49ers free agent signings or acquisitions, do we include
if you're talking about the... If you're talking about because you knew you were going to be moving on. So hear me out. Why didn't they just trade straight up Eric Armstead for Malik Collins?
Because you would. Would we have gotten the cap savings?
All I'm saying is they tried.
I think I know why. I think that if we had executed the trade now, we don't get post June 1st savings. We only get the original ones.
The only reason why that trade didn't go is because the Texans had a deal for Danielle Hunter and they didn't want to spend the same that money on Eric Armstead as well. Because what ended up happening after we traded for Malik Collins, the Texans went and signed a free agent defensive tackle to come in and replace Malik Collins. They definitely were looking for an interior guy, but that Hunter money is what killed everything for the 49ers. So it would have been not a straight up because some other type of compensation would have had to be given, whether it was a draft pick or something, but it wouldn't have been straight up. But my point is you could have did a player for player and then it wouldn't be considered a free agent. But what you're asking me is, since we knew we were losing Eric Armstead, is this considered a free agent signing for Malik Collins? And it's not, because it's still a trade.
You can't make that free agent wheel.
No. This is a trade. And I'm cool with the trade because it only costs you pick 232 in the seventh round. A pick that the Niners didn't need to be drafting. But they still have the last, one of the last picks in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you keep an account. So I have the Niners at 11 free agents signed so far.
11 free. Who do you have? We can go over.
I got Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd.
Jordan Elliott. George Odom.
Okay, those are re-signings. So
yeah, but I mean, they were free agents that they brought back.
Okay, George Odom. So,
YGM, Yetur Gross-Matos.
Gross-Matos.
Brandon Allen. Ben Bartsch. DFF.
Yep.
Chase Lucas.
Yep.
Devondre Campbell.
Yep.
Chris Conley.
Yep.
And my man, John Feliciano.
That's 11.
Am I missing anybody?
No.
Okay. Let's go, baby. That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
And so I think the Niners are confident in what they're doing. I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch I think they got it mastered. Mm-hmm. As far as free agency. And can I just remind everybody out there that what happens now has no effect on what's going to happen come trade deadline. Because if I'm not mistaken, if the Niners are lacking in an area, they will find a way to get what they want on this roster.
That's a whole topic. That is perfect. Because we'll go out here, we'll do what we got to do in free agency. Then we'll do some more in the draft. And we're going to play the first five games. Like, yo, you know what, man? We missing this.
This ain't it.
Go get them.
Yep.
Go get them.
That's it. They do it every single stinking year, bro.
And they don't get no credit for it. John Lynch gets active, bro. He gets active at the draft, free agency, and during the regular season. He gets active.
Are you slight bit worried about how the 49ers will approach the draft this year minus Adam Peters? That's my only question to you. and then we could dip out of here.
No, I'm actually excited. I think Adam Peters was calming John Lynch down. I think John Lynch about to go in here on some
super.
You know
aggressive.
How y'all be doing a mock draft joints and just be. I think John Lynch about to do that. I'm dead ass. He gonna make 11 picks and none of them gonna be the original 11 that he started. Like he gonna okay. be out there just doing his thing. I think that Adam Peters is like, hey, calm down, big fella. Like we got this. He gonna fall right to. Don't do this. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to reach there. We don't have to trade back. I think John Lynch about to have some fun.
Like I said, the team is built. And all they need to do is retool. And so the 49ers, you know, when they draft players, you know, I'm glad they got a first round pick, but essentially it's a second round pick, like essentially it's pick 31. But you get what I'm trying to say. Like it's still a first round pick. You'll get the fifth year option. I don't think that the 49ers want to move on from having a first round pick. They may move up to get a higher pick in the first round, which will cost them some of their draft stock, maybe something next year. But we already know that John Lynch don't care about picks. And so at the end of the day, but I brought that up because I said if John Lynch is super active, okay, in the draft and trying to move up, that may change how they attack the trade deadline because they won't have certain first round picks to move. But they'll have some seconds, and they don't care about seconds because if I'm not mistaken, Christian McCaffrey costs a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 12th. Like when I went to go back and see what the hell that cost, God dang! But hey, you got an All-Pro running back, you got the number one running back in the league, got the leading rusher, got the almost MVP. You got a lot. You got a lot.
You don't use them in the Super Bowl when you need them the most.
I'm going out this. I'm done. Happy Friday, man. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the BAM show. Appreciate you, man. Mike, you take us home.
We alive all the time. Just kicking it with the fam, bro. I'm Mike, and that's Wayne. And this is the BAM show. Peace.